right, so it's kind of funny. I have here in studio with me, I have Mark Faulkner, who is the president and CEO of Baptist Healthcare, and Casey Gartman, who is the vice president of external relations for Baptist Hospital. And if you do not recognize it, that is the theme music for the new General Hospital. It kind of cracked me up because Mark was like, what's that? And Casey's like rocking it out. I would have played the old one, but it's got the ambulance sound, the siren, and you're not really supposed to air a siren. You know, it's not a good idea generally. So anyway, Mark Faulkner, Casey Gartman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Mark, we had you on a lot during COVID. And of course, Casey, dear friend, you know, great to have you guys. So welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. It's great to be with you this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Andrew.
So finally, you don't own the property anymore. The old Baptist Hospital belongs to the city of Pensacola. First things first, how much relief did last Monday bring?
Well, I probably more excitement than relief.
Okay.
When we shared our plans to construct a replacement hospital, we had three components of that vision. The first, obviously, is to create and construct a world-class modern healthcare facility, which certainly we lacked at the Legacy Campus. The second commitment was to use local trades and subs and contract workers in the construction, keep the money here. And the third was some redevelopment vision for that Legacy Campus that we were vacating. And so 2 years later, we just celebrated our second anniversary of being in the new
campus. That's crazy. I can't believe it's 2 years.
Yeah, September is when we moved, as you might recall, moved that hospital in 6 hours into the new place. But also,
easy day.
Yeah, right. You know, just another day at General Hospital. But also, last week, to your point, was another key milestone of those three components, and that was the closing of the donation where we handed over the property and the ownership of the property, the 51 acres in total, to the city of Pensacola for the redevelopment to continue on. Now, also recall that still moving forward in that is 11 acres that was already purchased by Paces Foundation to construct housing for both senior and workforce attainable housing. We took the proceeds of that sale, the $3 million for that 11 acres, and we donated it along with the land to the city, as well as an additional roughly three million, in total of about $5.8 million. So we gave the keys, we gave the check, and the city is now the owner of that property.
All right, I'm gonna give you a radio tip. You got to be right on top of the microphone.
Gotcha.
I know you're an in person guy. I've seen you speak in person so many times, but it's like right here. It's just a funny little thing. All right, so I wanted to have you on in part to talk about where we're at now, but also because there have been a lot of things said, and I think not all the things that have been said have been 100% accurate, and I thought it'd be an interesting chance for you guys to maybe respond to some of this. Let's just dive in. One of the allegations has been, look, you guys got all this money, massive amount of money, nearly $1 billion in bonding capacity for a hospital that was, I mean, it wasn't even $700 million. It's a $660 million hospital. Why couldn't you use some of that money to demolish the hospital yourselves at your own expense? I mean, it's your property. Mm-hmm. It's a code enforcement problem if you don't maintain it. Why does the state or the county or the city or anybody else need to fund this? Can't that money, isn't it money fungible? Can't you just use it to go to demolish the hospital?
Back in June of 2019, we made the announcement we're moving, and we proceeded to put together a plan for financing. What's it going to cost to construct a modern-day hospital? And we went in December, so 4 or 5 months later, with a plan up to over $900 million of potential bond financing to include the hospital as well as investments maybe at Gulf Breeze or at Lakeview or the Legacy Campus and investing there in other places. At the end of the day, we went to the bond market in June of 2020, 6 weeks before COVID hit, and for an issue of about $542 million. So what was going to be over $900 actually ended up being about $540 to construct the new hospital.
Okay.
That was the plan. That was always the plan. Now, when we also made that commitment that we're moving, we said we're going to leave stuff behind.
Right.
All we're going to move is the inpatient and outpatient services to I-110 and Brent Lane. And behind, we would leave our administrative offices, our behavioral health hospital, and other functions. That was the plan to keep that campus vibrant and active. Now, as that plan evolved, COVID hit. A lot of our employees went home to work from home. And we were asked, could we move everything? Well, yeah, we could consider moving everything. What do you mean? Well, move behavioral health, move the admin functions, because it would be more likely to be redeveloped if everything was vacated. So we agreed to that. And so from a $550 million construction budget jumped to $650 as we constructed additional space on the legacy on the new campus, as well as a new behavioral health inpatient hospital. And so that's what changed as we shifted our plans to accommodate vacating the entirety of that campus. Why would we do that?
The original plan was to have two locations, New Baptist and Old Baptist, with a lot of facilities staying at Old Baptist. Then COVID hit, and you guys were asked, could you move it all? Asked by whom? Like your board of directors, city of Pensacola, county, who asked?
The county.
The county asked.
A member of the county, yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough. So county government.
Correct.
Okay. So you retooled, you decided to move the whole campus. That would facilitate redevelopment, and you were continuing. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, because the last we wanted to leave behind was a vacated, empty medical facility. We already have enough of those around.
Right.
In town.
North Palafox.
Yes. So we looked, for example, in Birmingham, Alabama, Caraway Methodist Hospital closed its doors 20 years ago. It became blight. It became crime. It became a problem. Ultimately, the city of Birmingham purchased that. It's now being redeveloped as we speak. But we didn't want that to happen. We could have left it boarded up. We could have left a fence up and said, it's not our problem. We'll deal with.
You'll pay the code enforcement fines
absolutely.
Or whatever.
But we wanted to do better because we're of this community and for this community. And we made a choice. And that choice was to participate actively in creating a redevelopment vision. We paid about $2 million to craft a vision of what this could become. And we learned it could be housing, an anchor site perhaps, education, retail, on and on. But we don't do development. We do healthcare.
Right.
But we wanted to get this strategy and vision to a place to hand it off to a developer or somebody who could do that. And the city was the natural partner because they have access to grants and appropriations that we as a not-for-profit would never have access to. And so that was the plan. And fortunately, we have a mayor and we have a city council that has vision that accepted this donation and is now embracing that with the potential of the redevelopment now underway.
So it wound up making sense to do. I understand the change of heart, and that also included the why you didn't leave medical facilities behind, because the idea was this needs to be, we need to get out so that it can be redeveloped. And that might include some medical facilities, but it's not really possible to sort of keep what was there and also build what's supposed to be new, right?
We've never said we're not going to make sure there's health care provided on that campus. And I think that's one of the misstatements and misunderstanding that's been brought forward. No, we're still committed to that. Now, incidentally, just down the road is Community Health Northwest Florida on Palafox Street, 1,600 yards from that legacy campus. And so we know that it's important to have accessible primary care, urgent care on or near that facility. And Community Health does an amazing job in our community in multiple locations, including that location in Jackson Street as well. But we're still evaluating that. In fact, in addition to donating the land we had promised, we've added three additional buildings donated to the city for the intention of one of those being converted for healthcare delivery.
Right.
So that commitment has not been tossed by the wayside. We still are focused on making sure that immediacy of 32501 has access to healthcare.
Kind of going back to the original question I asked, and I think a question a lot of people have is, it's your building. Why should the public, through tax dollars of any sort, whether it's grants from the state or the county or the city, why shouldn't you guys just pay for the demolishment? I mean, you know, it was your property. Why shouldn't that come out of your fund? I mean, you've got these hundreds of millions of dollars sloshing around. You're obviously a super wealthy company. You know,
right.
That stuff. But, I mean, this is the perception people
sure.
have. So when people ask that question, you know, how do you respond?
Well, that's not something that I didn't consider, and our board as well. Could we have paid for the demolition, take the lowest bidder, demolished everything, sold it for the highest bidder as a greenfield site, and made money?
Because you would still own it,
right? We'd still own it. We'd tear down the buildings. We'd sell it to a developer, and it would become whatever that developer chose for it to become, which may not be what the community would want. And so we wanted to protect what the community said would be important, and that is, right now, attainable housing. Could it be 51 acres of high development? Potentially, right off of North Hill. And so that was something that we considered all the way through this process. We could just keep owning it. We could just tear it down. We could just sell it to the highest bidder and let it be redeveloped.
So the theory was that if we partner with these other folks, doing something that's going to be of interest and benefit to all of them, then it makes sense for them to shoulder some of the burden.
Yes, Andrew, what we learned through this process really is that with the property in the hands of a governmental entity, they have access to so many more grants and funding sources than us as a private company would. So when we approached the state of Florida to help the city with this demolition, and Senator Broxson, we are so grateful to him for helping secure $7 million through the Florida legislature for this, and then again putting in our own almost $6 million, left a little bit of a shortfall. But you have to remember through all of this, Andrew, also, we are a not-for-profit organization who last year alone provided $61 million in charity care to our community through uncompensated care, where we care for the uninsured, and Medicaid shortfalls, the difference between what Medicaid pays us to care for these patients and then what we have to shoulder on that remaining cost.
You say $61
million? $61 million in fiscal year 2024.
So uncompensated care greater than the total revenues of the EMS system in Escambia County.
Yes.
At $58 million. I mean,
yes.
You know.
And these are actual costs. These aren't charges. Right. These are actual costs of providing care. But it's part of our commitment as a local 501c3 not-for-profit. We're here to meet the needs of the entirety of the community.
Those were the kind of the big questions I think people had. I'm not sure that some of the other things matter as much, but since we're kind of running short on time, we're talking to Mark Faulkner from Baptist Hospital and Casey Gartman. I just wanted to ask two things. One is, 2 years in, how is the new campus doing?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll speak on behalf of our team members who were just thrilled to be in this new campus, modern. Not only is it modern bricks and mortar, very warm and healing environment, but the technology, 90% of everything that's in there is brand new in terms of the technology, but our patients as well. We're in the top 15% nationally in patient satisfaction right now. Our turnover and vacancy rates are back to pre-pandemic levels. We're a 4-star facility as CMS ranked. So by all indicators, beyond just my own opinion, things are going extremely well. We continue to grow. We've added over 230 new jobs, net new jobs, to the organization since we moved. 230, paying well over $65,000 in salary. That's a significant economic impact.
Right.
We didn't ask for economic development dollars. We don't ask for subsidies. We just do it and do the right thing as an organization for the community.
And then you still have plans to build that next facility in the second tree grove over on the west side of the new campus. Is that right?
Well, the Henderson building is built.
Oh, it's built. Okay.
I
drive by it all the time. I should know, but
It is, but right now there's construction going in the top two floors. We're constructing a two-floor inpatient rehab hospital in partnership with PAM Health. It's a joint venture. And so those top two floors will be occupied. And once that's done, the entire campus will be full. We'll be needing to expand in other ways in the future.
And Casey, I know you and I were talking a little bit before. We've been having this conversation all day about EMS, the billing, working with ambulances. We've only got about a minute, but you've been working with the county, with Director Watts from EMS, on solving the problem of billing, good patients, not abusing the system, just kind of all of that.
Yes, and we've been having, as Chief Watts alluded to at the meeting, direct conversations with him and his team about how we could partner together to help reduce some of this bad debt that the county is incurring from what we at times call frequent flyers, those that call on 911 services more than necessary. And so what ways could we as a community be creative about how to try to solve those problems? One, for our patients, so that we are reducing readmission rates when they have chronic conditions such as COPD, CHF, and care for them where they need it at home rather than them calling 911 and coming back to the hospital. That then also helps Escambia County EMS so that they can focus on what are true emergent needs in our community and be there when actual traumas happen.
And the general principle that if we're not wasting resources, that's good for the county services, that's good for the Baptist services, that's good for everybody.
And
right.
So we are open to conversations with the county again about how we can collectively approach this and focus on this challenge.
Very good. Well, we are totally out of time, but Mark Faulkner, the president and CEO of Baptist Health. healthcare. Casey Garman, the external relations vice president. I'm amazed at how much you guys helped us navigate our way through COVID and talk about all the issues there. So I appreciate that longstanding relationship. And for you guys coming in today to kind of talk about some of these things, answer these questions for the community. Thank you for what you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. We appreciate you.